Marnay, she loves Zachary Levi and she loves Jason Elam. That's all you need to know about her.
What's up, folks? It's the opening night, opening day episode of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. You can follow me on the Twitterverse, on the IGverse, on OnlyFans at Jazz High Notes. That's at Jazz High Notes. I'm here. We got unicorns here. We got a little bit of everything. We are going to go the distance. 49 with him is Jared Parker. What's up, Jared?
Hey, man, what's up?
I wish Jared Butler was here.
Taken for an NBA player.
Right. Wow. Yeah, making his return from Korea. The Squatch is a Dragon's back. What's up with my Dragon Squatch, Logan?
That's a llama, actually.
That's a llama. Excuse me.
Yeah. I don't want to call you racist or anything, but it was a little racist.
It was a little racist? You're right. You know, that's how we do here.
That looks like a rat.
That's definitely a wrap.
That one's a wrap. Jared, that one's a wrap.
Jared officially not racist. Who? Very racist.
As we hang out here on FaceTime on a Thursday night, like we literally, and when I say we, I literally pushed out an episode today that we had recorded like a week ago, and now we're releasing an episode right on top of that. So yeah, you know, it's either you really like us or you're really going to hate us. One of those two. Guys, the Jazz played last night. They're going to play later tonight against the Sacramento Kings. First of all, I'm Logan. You know, good to have you back. I'll let you go first, sir. Jazz win. They beat the Thunder, the pesky Thunder, and they keep a Lou Dort from scoring 40, SGA from scoring 40. It was. I mean, did you watch the? I mean, did you were able to legally stream the game?
I was not able to legally stream it, so I went through the hoops I had to jump through to try to watch. From mid first quarter on, so my scheming didn't work because the VPN didn't work. The NBA is now wised up and makes you and get your location. So that was a massive fail. And then I tried to get the Fubo free trial, and then I had to put a fake zip code in because it wouldn't let me watch it in Idaho. So I'm not entirely sure how Idahoans are supposed to watch it. It's quite confusing. To
interesting,
me,
but... like the VPN. I mean.
Well, there's tricky ways around the VPN. You can have the VPN, but it doesn't matter. When they get on your phone and they ask you to enable location on your device and it won't play unless you enable location, that you can. But I'm sure someone's smarter to figure out a way around that. I'm not.
All right. Well, that's
but I did watch it, and it just gives me even more reasons to hate the golden boy, Ryan Smith. But, you know, it is what it is. I tweeted out my takeaways. There's only two worthwhile takeaways from my perspective, and that is that Butler did get minutes, and he got I originally tweeted out Forrest's minutes, but I don't think Forrest really had minutes last year either. But either way, they somehow tweaked the rotation. You guys are better with the – there's other people that are better with the minute tweaking, but he did get some minutes over Forrest, which I think is a thing. And then Oney didn't come in until it was like deep, deep mop-up time. So it appears as though Oney is on the outs, right? So
I believe so. That was the golden boy for a while. Mia Oney, the next great savior, and yeah, he's a I did want to bring up the 10-man rotation. When Jared Butler came in, I was like, oh my god, Quinn Snyder is a fucking liar. This is 10 men he's using. Eric Pascal. I know it's not Pascal, but I'm gonna say it that way. You know, kind of filled those Rudy Gay minutes that we expect Rudy Gay to take, but then Jared Butler came out like that's 10 men. Like Trent Forrest was not a regular rotation player, and last year the Jazz ran 9 and they said they were going to do 9. Quinn Snyder specifically said they were going to run a 9-man rotation this offseason, and he's a fucking liar, which is fine. You know, I think all coaches lie. I wouldn't trust my girlfriend in the closet with him, but. Jay Barker, excuse me, Jared Barker. any takeaways from game one, Jazz? I was gonna say Nuggets, Jazz Thunder.
I'm more interested in your girlfriend in the closet with Quinn Snyder. What the hell is going
would,
on?
I would not leave them alone together.
This
Clay's a situation.
Yep.
Yeah, this hypothetical party is getting off the rails.
Yeah, I'm just saying if Quinn and I were at some frat party. And you know, if I was hanging out with my hot girlfriend, and
Quinn Snyder came,
if Quinn Snyder walked in, I would definitely like we gotta get out of here, you know. So, not saying I don't like Quinn Snyder, I just don't trust him. So, and this gave me more reason, you know, him lying about his rotation. And again, that's fine. You know, lying about using 9 or 10 men, that's okay. So anyway, takeaways from your first game, from the game one of the Jazz season.
I mean, it looked like a big win. I did thoroughly enjoy the fact that somebody went and found the clip where Lu Dort is dribbling, and he's like, "Oh, he sees Rudy at the rim there," and he's like, "Oh shit!" and he passes it. That was incredible.
Jazz fans love some Lu Dort.
No, the fact that almost... passing away from trying to dunk on Rudy Gobert is.
But you know,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It probably feels blasphemous to them. They're really confused because they love Rudy so much, but they love Lu Dort. And they probably just, like you said, that's even more amazing that someone found it, because it seems like it's two of those dark spots they don't want to acknowledge. So,
yeah.
What does one do? What does one do when their favorite undrafted mediocre role player drives in on their god? What do they do?
They apparently post the aw shit clip is what they do. Logan tweet out a tweet about a. Lu Dort and a lot of cream that I saw in that little GIF gift that you put there.
How did SGA do? Like I know people love SGA, but it seemed like every time I looked up, he was breaking along.
It felt like the Thunder are thundering, right? Like it was a game where the Jazz never felt like they were out of control. Same old Jazz from last year. It seems like the Jazz just beat up on a team that they should have beat up on, and that's good. Like, some people are gonna, like, they looked rusty, you know. It's game one, so I don't know if there's, you know, I don't know if there's anything to be concerned about. Like, they won by, you know, a good amount of points, good number of points. Their defense was pretty good. It's game one again, but they did what they should have done. I don't think they were ever in trouble. The Thunder are. You know, if you got to listen to the preview that we did last, you know, or today, people listen to it today, we think the Thunder is going to be bad. Like, they're going to tank for draft picks. They have really no reason to try to win. They might even, you know, try to lose. Like, they tanked hard last year. They're probably not going to be super competitive, but there you go.
I don't know, somebody posted that people were freaking out because Josh Giddey had 10 rebounds or something. Like, I don't know if that was, like, they said it was, like, the first Australian guard to get, like, that many rebounds. I was like, what the heck kind of a stat is that? It's, like, the weirdest non sequitur I've ever seen.
The first Australian guard to get 10 rebounds, huh?
I don't know. In his debut or some. I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
That can't be right. Because Ben Simmons is from Australia, and I believe he's a guard.
In his debut.
Oh, in his debut. Well, good. You know, there you go. I mean, of all, you know, congratulations to the 7 other Australians. I mean, how many other Australian guards were there in the NBA?
Good question.
Dante.
They're all guards except for Boga, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there might be some there might be some, like, random Aussies Patty Mills, Joe. Yeah. I mean, cool. I mean, again, it's just one of these weird stats, but also, like, I just don't know what we can
get from useless.
That information there. So, I mean, there are people a little worried about the Jazz offense. It wasn't quite humming like last year, but we're in game one.
Oh, I guess he almost had a triple-double,
who?
Apparently. Oh, no, that was a preseason game. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Okay. But I do think one of the biggest takeaways was seeing Jared Butler. I mean, Jared Butler didn't really hit anything in the stat sheets, but I mean, the fact that he played any minutes, I'm shocked. And when I saw him coming out, I was like, oh my god, like this could be something. Like, he's probably not gonna win Rookie of the Year, but you know, this is a way for him to, you know, if he's gonna at least average 10 to 12 minutes a game, you know, he's not gonna be Desmond Bane. But man, Jared Butler can really be a rotation piece for this team. So
he leapfrogged his way in there.
Like him, I'd really like to see, you know, Clarkson and Jared Butler. I think they really complement each other well. Like, Clarkson doesn't need to have the ball to cook, and Jared Butler when he's ball handling, like, you would rather have Mike, Donovan, or maybe even Joe ball handle when they're in there. But if Jared Butler's in there and Jordan Clarkson, I think it's fine having JC, you know, kind of roam around while Jared Butler runs the offense, even if it's for, you know, 4 minutes, a half. So I'm down with that. And we'll see. We'll see how I'm doing. Rudy Gay gets back in. Again, it's a Thunder. It's really hard to be like, oh, my God. You know, but they did what they're supposed to do. They went out there. They beat the team that they're supposed to beat. This is something that 2 years ago, you know, we probably wouldn't say, like, oh, boy, you know, the Thunder may be bad, but these are the type of games that Jazz just kind of lose a little bit. So maybe it's the same old Jazz, guys. Maybe it's the same old Jazz, which I don't know if it's good or bad.
Last year when they played in Oklahoma City, like, game two or three was a little more rough than this, so it was.
Yeah.
Different this year. And someone, I don't know which beat reporter tweeted out first, but it was tweeted out earlier in the day that Butler was saying he will get minutes that last night, so he knew something.
Yeah, I mean, he said he didn't.
But then again, like you said, coaches lie, so we don't know if it was true. And honestly, when he checked in, I thought, or I wasn't paying attention when he checked in, because I don't usually watch with the sound on, because it's just, there's nothing worth listening to. But I thought it was Trent Forrest initially. I had to, like, double take, because I wasn't sure what a Gerard Butler was yet. So, but and it is. It is telling. Do I think that Quinn's going to stick with a 10-man rotation? I don't know, but. At least if early on he's giving some guys a chance to figure out who that ninth man is going to be, at least I'll take that as,
yeah,
you know,
a little something different. But then
slight progress.
But then we take one step forward, two steps back, and this almost happened. The game was well in hand. Jazz were up by 20 with like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you know, people noticed that at the scores table, Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley are about to check in.
And tempting fate.
It's just, you know, again, I say same old Jazz. I'm like, well, you know, same old Jazz, guys. That's like, I shouldn't be surprised. I am, but I shouldn't be surprised that happened. It was
so they never. I saw people losing their mind over that. I was trying to get Ari ready for bed, so they didn't ever end up coming back in, right?
Or right, like they were at the scores table, and then, you know, they were sitting there waiting to check in, and by the time the next dead ball happened, I think there was a timeout or something. They just pulled them back out. So.
Well, I saw Donovan have like a little mini tweak ejection too. I don't know if that helped inspire. I don't know if that was before or after, but Donovan was, there's the play out of bounds and something happened where he came up a bit gimpy, and I could see people potentially losing their mind. Maybe that,
and
I don't know
if
those two things corresponded or not.
Yeah, and we won't know, but like, I mean, it is one of these, like, can we draw a straight line? Like, okay, those guys were at the scores table, and about 4 minutes left, Donovan has a scare. Let's say a scare. Like, he's like, ooh, his ankle. And but I mean, if you're a coach, I mean, I don't know. It's one of these weird things that, like, putting myself in Quinn Snyder's shoes, I just can't see the benefit of, like, and maybe, you know, this goes deep to, like, maybe there's other motivational. Maybe he's like trying to send a message to the guys that were out there going, no, you guys let up a 6-0 run, you know, so we're not going to let this happen right now. And I don't know. But it is one of those, like, this is one of the complaints we had last year, right? Like, oh, Quinn Snyder, you know, not putting in his third unit very much in the games, and that either, you know, as I think Jazz fans were afraid of burnout, Jazz fans were also afraid of injury, and, you know, we might have, you know, a lot of fans kind of saw that in the playoffs, that those were some of the factors that caused the Jazz to lose, and yeah, so again, you know,
what do you guys think when it comes to the minutes? Do you guys think it's a potential burnout situation that has your attention, or do you think it's a potential injury thing? Because I've got my theory on. I'm just curious what you guys think. Is it the fear of someone getting hurt, or the fear of them just getting burnt out and tired by the?
I've seen that both, you know, both people were talking about, just like, cause they're like, oh, you know, Quinn, you know, when Jared Butler was getting some minutes, like, all right, you know, people were like, oh, maybe Quinn learned that, you know, giving your guys a little bit extra rest during the game will keep them healthier during that the whole year. And then you know, when Donovan had that little scare, you know, a lot of people, you know, like our friend Mark from Twos and Threes was like, what are you doing, Quinn? Like, you know, you're gonna put Rudy in you know, a situation. Well, where
Mark is blaspheming, huh?
What was that?
Mark is blaspheming.
It's a fair criticism. It's criticism or fear that a lot of Jazz fans have, so it is one of those things. And I didn't get to watch the last few minutes of that game, but when I saw it, I was like, oh. And I asked my anchor over here. I was like, did he really get ready to put those guys in? He's like, yeah. And talked about it, and maybe he said maybe Quinn's just using the first couple games here as extra preseason, you know, making sure like it's a real rotation. And I guess I'm like, I guess, but that goes to the whole like, you know, rigid thing again. Like he's sticking to, because that is what the regular rotation is, right? Rudy comes out for about 4 minutes in the middle of the fourth quarter and comes back in for the last four or five. And let's take the same with Mike Conley. And whether it's the real rotation or not, whether it is, like, when you're up by 20 by that, at that point, when you when it looks like you're in the driver's seat, you know, at some point, do we want rigid? Or, I mean, it's, again, this is some criticism from last year seeping over. We're nitpicking because the Jazz won the first game. There's only been one game to look at. Yeah, I don't know about anything else that was super important. I mean, the Jazz played, I mean, Rudy Gobert, I think we're bearing the lead, actually. Rudy Gobert played like a fucking beast. I think he had 16 points, 21 rebounds. I think he tied like the most rebounds in a debut since Carlos Boozer is a stat I saw. So, yeah, like a great game. Like something that we kind of criticized last year was like, oh, Rudy not going up strong to the basket. And then they saw what he could do in the French for the French national team during the Olympics. And man, like there was a couple times he grabbed rebounds straight up. Maybe because the Thunder didn't really have anybody to really body him out there. I don't know. I mean, Rudy Gobert, Logan, Dragon Squash there. Do you think that's going to be important for the Jazz here?
Rudy Gobert being good?
That's not the right way to say it. Like, what do you think of his performance? Like, how do you think that sets him up for? Do you think this is a step in the right, Do you think this is him coming out and going to be an offensive force? Do you think it's a blip on the radar? Or like, I mean, we need more information. But where do you lean?
No, I don't lean it. I mean, that's just like with all the important players, he's in the same group. I mean, they did kind of what they're supposed to do. I don't take anything away from it. It don't matter when he's not playing. We'll see what happens when he's not playing against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, it's not as if he hasn't had moments last year, too, where he took it strong and did things like he did. There were a couple times where he either attempted a jump shot or looked like or actually attempted a jump shot, which was different. So I guess maybe that's
something. I think someone said he spotted up for a three, too. I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I thought everyone told us last year, I thought that the Rudy Gobert defender said it would just be a bad thing if he ever learned how to shoot offensively. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It's confusing to me as to how I'm supposed to feel about it. So we don't want Rudy taking shots, or we do, or we don't. We only want him
taking shots that he makes. So
yeah, I mean Rudy was good, and Donovan was bad first half, great second half. But some folks also commented that he was playing great perimeter defense, and they would trade that for other things. So I mean,
Third quarter Don showed up.
Yeah.
Jared, I'm somebody that
did the 3-point streak get extended? I mean, I'm sure it did, right?
Fuck.
I'm pretty sure I saw Jordan Clarkson make a couple of threes, right?
So. Who is so exasperated that you brought that up? He's going to say Guzraba.
Because the best part is, like, it actually, like, ended in the playoffs, right? But it doesn't count because it was the playoffs, so the streak actually lives on.
I'm sure Bowler got a huge boner over that. Speaking of boners, a huge Bojan boner. He looked good. I mean, Bojan said in the offseason that his wrist was still bothering him last year. Like, he had never been injured like that. And, I mean, this year, he led the Jazz in scoring with 22, I want to say. It's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, like, this Bojan. So, do you feel better about this Jazz right now, Jared? Like, you know, Bojan was firing really well. Jordan did what he does, you know, came in, flamed through for the quarter that he could. The Jazz have a high impact rookie coming off the bench. The Jazz have some versatility with Eric Pascal from Tangled, and Rudy Gay filling in those George Nyang minutes. How do you feel about this Jazz after one game? I know there was some worry, but like were any of those worries lessened for you after game one?
Well, kind of like Logan said, it's the Thunder, so I don't know how much I can take away from one regular season win against the Thunder. But, I mean, it's a promising start. Yeah.
So, I mean, all right, I just say, so, still same. Yeah, well, I mean, I do want to ask you about your boy. Apparently, this is the first time Derek Favors had ever played in Salt Lake against the Jazz since his rookie year, so... Came back. They did a little tribute video for him. This is one area where it's hard for me to comment on because I just don't get the Derek Favors stuff. But like Derek Favors is back. He came back, and how are you in your feels about it?
Well, it was pretty sure it was the second time he played in Salt Lake.
Yeah, he didn't play here when the Pelicans played. They played there in New Orleans, and then
either time.
And then COVID shut it down.
Yeah, and then they were supposed to
on his way back.
Yeah, they were supposed to do it, and then COVID. So they played against each other in the bubble, but not.
Oh, that's right, but not in Utah.
So
yeah.
So I get my facts straight from Twitter and Wikipedia, so you know it's right.
But so, he actually got one in as a net though. Huh?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, since his rookie year.
He was traded as a rookie, right?
Yeah. His rookie year. So he played one time but that was before he was a Jazz man.
It's kind of wild
to think that they actually got one in because they only played once and he was traded mid-season, and that's an odd little anomaly.
Yeah.
I know normally I'm kind of a dickhead when it comes to Derek Favors, but I'm asking Jared this in all seriousness and sincerity. What is it that is the things that have made him so beloved with this fan base? Because he's up there with some of the most loved players. I mean, I see more Derek Favors love on Twitter than I see John Stockton and Karl Malone. So I mean, what is it that
he's not an anti-vaxxer and he was, you know, he didn't ever get with a young girl.
I know that, but I've been seeing more love about that than before we knew he was a vaxxer. But I'm really trying to figure out what were the moments or what was it he did, because I mean, to me, I have a very different perception of what he was, I guess.
I think for most young Jazz fans that don't even remember John Stockton, he's been a presence that's always been there. So he's kind of, you know, he's an old stalwart. He was here for like 10-ish years. And a lot of people who love him the most don't even hardly recall those John Stockton years, I've noticed.
So what you're saying is this is a millennial problem.
But Joe Ingles has his headband game. Joe Ingles has got his playoff speed situation. I mean, there's iconic moments that have, you know, kind of vaulted Joe Ingles into that folk hero category. And what's Derek Favors is just beloved because he showed up every day. That's what it was.
Did you not watch the Clippers series?
The one where Rudy went out for a second, yeah.
And Favors basically carried that team.
Jared, I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm asking like a legitimate question because I don't get it. Like, yeah, that was great, but that's it. Like, that's what we want to build a statue for one playoff series. I'm just trying to figure out what it is what it is about him. There is a hole in my Jazz fan.
You're never gonna understand. You're never gonna understand. So I don't know what you want me to explain to you.
Well, why? Because
it's an emotional thing.
Because I've talked about this a lot too. Like,
you guys are emotionless and
okay.
Dicks,
see,
you are,
I guess. See, that's the thing. Like, I sometimes feel like we need more somebody else that has like just like you know who's really invested in the Jazz team. Because like, yeah, this is a question that I've had. I mean, even before Logan was on, I just never really got the Derek Favors stuff. I'm like, oh, he was great, but you know, he was fun to have around.
You know,
he never really raised the ceiling of the Jazz.
Logan, you know who you guys should ask with that question? @mayor_bum.
I mean, here's the thing. There's a lot of people that we could ask. There's a lot of people who love Derek Favors, but they're just not here right now.
Don't know that you're going to get a satisfying answer because I don't know what you guys are looking for.
I'm not asking
for a satisfying answer, Jared. I'm just asking you a question. You love the guy, and I'm asking why you love him. I'm not, like, criticizing it one way or another. I'm just curious what it is because I find it interesting, not in a negative critical way. I'm just curious what it was like. Is there something that happened? Because every time I always heard about him, it was like, can he play alongside Rudy? Is that going to work? Is that going to fit? Is that going to mesh? And in my mind, I was always disappointed that he was the Darren Williams return.
It's his genuine love for the state of Utah, his genuine love for the fans. He's just a very genuine person, and you don't get that a lot in the NBA.
No, it works. That's a great answer. That makes perfect sense. That makes plenty of sense. I'm just I don't live there. I'm not a part of it, so I don't know. You know, I don't know any of that stuff. I don't get any of that information. I'm just curious. I mean, I don't have a problem with Derek Favors. It's just he gets vaulted into like, I mean, there's plenty of people our age who are like in that have him faulted it. They're like I said, Memo is like probably one of my top three jazz players of all time, and there's not really a great reason for that, but it just is what it is. It's always been curious to me as to what it was about him that people found so beloved. Cause I just, when I, you know, he was just a young guy who was trying to figure stuff out. And then I didn't pay attention as closely to the jazz. Well, I paid attention, but you know, I wasn't active on Twitter living in the community. So it's hard to know what it is. And then you come back and all of a sudden he's, you know, to me, it was, they couldn't figure out if he was going to be able to work along Rudy, which I thought may cause some tension amongst people. And there was the Cantor years, and maybe Cantor helped his right. likable guy persona. I mean, I don't know.
On the flip side, Logan, on the flip side, I've been here. I've been in Utah.
Yeah, the juxtaposition between him and Cantor is probably, it probably did help this case, honestly.
Right, like I've been here. I've lived it. I've watched the Jazz. You know, I watched the Jazz after, and Darren Williams was one of my favorite players. And I get what you're saying. Like, you know, he was the main cog that came back from the Darren Williams trade. And if we're talking about like who raised the Jazz ceiling more in their time here, like Darren Williams did.
And, yeah, that's true.
And Derek Favors, like, again, I mean, I don't know about his, this, like, you know, and Jared's like, oh, you know, he's genuine about Utah, genuine about the team and everything. And just like, okay, I've never felt that myself. And I'm not saying that he's not. I just never go, oh, yeah, Derek Favors. And maybe it's because, like, I don't know if liking Utah is a, you know, prerequisite for me to like a player, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess he was the one consistent piece, though. That, I mean, he braved the Jefferson Millsap eras to the dark times to where it was the Hayward era, the core four, and then he was there to see some success. And I know I absolutely do remember the playoff series against the Clippers where Rudy goes down and he manned up. He couldn't make two free throws at a time, but I remember him manning up.
That's what you got to compare it to. You got to compare the fact that, okay, Darren Williams, you know, gone. Boom, he left. Hayward, oh, he left. You know, it's like Favors, he always wanted to stay. So it's like, I mean, people, I don't know. It's probably that more than anything that people go, oh, Derek Favors, we love you.
Okay, yeah, well,
that's true. He was loyal to a fault to where the Jazz could even do him dirty again, which is kind of interesting.
So what, I don't know, like if George Yang or Matt Thomas were like, oh man, we love Utah, we'd never want to leave here. Like, I don't know. They don't get universal love for that.
They never liked him as a player.
But I mean, that was one of your
prerequisites. Did you say George Niang?
Yeah, like if
can we speak of George Niang ever again?
Like that's the thing is that like if anybody else just says, oh yeah, I love Utah, I want to play forever, and they do, like, I don't know, I don't understand.
I guess that is true though, because Boris Diaw was here for like what, 10 minutes?
Yeah,
and he takes a lot of pictures of Utah and talks about mm-hmm. loves, and like Boris Diaw is also in that like elite category of like, we love Boris, not remembering Boris Diaw like absolutely killing the Jazz as a son and as a spur. And just I'm sure he's a great dude, but like, yeah, you're right, I guess that's true, because there is the persecution complex that we roll with. So if someone says we love you, it's like, oh, thank you.
Like Darren Williams was a outcast for 10 years.
It's like that you guys seen that meme video where the guy is touching Nas's face while he's rapping? I think it's kind of like that. Jazz fans feel like that about like anybody who says something positive about Utah.
And yeah, that's what's weird to me, I guess. Like, and so now we've gotten to that point. Like, yeah, it's just, if as long as you say you like Utah, you're fine. Like, we love Darren Williams now, and he says all the right things now. In 3 or 4 years, that could change. But yeah,
maybe to put a bow on the Derek Favors conversation. Two things. First of all, thank you, Derek, for giving us some 10 to 15 minutes of contentious content when we were just struggling along to find something to talk about. So, Derek, I do love you now because you gave us something that we all gave a shit about. And second of all, I'm not forgetting Ryan Smith did you dirty. Like, I'm in the wait and see Ryan Smith camp. Like,
I was gonna say
I'm very much like, let's see how this goes, because I still am not coming off what we talked about earlier was, when they signed him to that deal last year, they have calculators. They saw it was coming. So I'm still, the answers we've gotten as to why they unloaded him doesn't make any sense to me. So
the funny thing is that, so as Jared has said earlier, like, oh, he'll always love Utah or whatever. I don't know. I saw a couple of tweets of some people that were like, you know, that love for Utah is not there anymore. Like, it's a, Like someone said something about I want to say it was on a McCade thread, so I can probably find it if I want to go search for it. But you know, McCade had talked about the same thing that we were talking about, like his weird career arc, really, because like, he never really reached top five potential. I mean, again, I've said it before that Enes Kanter has a better statistical career than Derek Favors has, from both our top five picks or top three picks, really. Number three picks, and Derek Favors, and somebody was like saying, "Oh, I can't wait for Derek Favors to come back for his retirement," and somebody else was like, "Oh yeah, he's never coming back or whatever," and like it made it sound like there was some real bad blood between them. And again, this is, I don't know who these people were, so I don't know if they know or not. But
who knows? That guy's his professionalism is pretty top notch. So I don't think you would ever be able to tell.
If Darren Williams is being welcomed back to some degree, and he ran off the greatest coach in our franchise and ushered the shit era, and I love Darren Williams, but he just turned everything backwards for us. But if he's ever, I mean, Derek Favors will overcome that. He seems to have a different persona than any of that. And that's a long ways away. He's gonna come back and get cut by the Jazz three more times before it's all said and done.
No, I mean, like, I mean, that could happen. There's also,
he's the next Thurl Bailey, is what he is. I'm like, calling it now. He's the next big team.
I wonder if Derek. I mean, if what I saw was true, and that just means maybe the Jazz hurt his feelings. Like maybe his feelings are hurt from the organization. So I don't know. It's just kind of crazy to think about. Like the Golden Boy, all of a sudden now I'm. To ruin that relationship very quickly is a little crazy. So maybe it's not ruined forever, but I'm gonna at least say that I saw that, and part of me believes it. That there's a chance that that relationship has had some damage on it. So
honestly, I can see it based on that comment. It makes sense. Sense.
That's true. But who else is gonna take him back? He's got no run anywhere else. except for that dude you guys had on last year who loved the Pelicans and thought they were going to the championship. He might.
Yeah. I want to say I'm Brown Bear, because I'm pretty sure Brown Bear was one that told us that he still lived in Utah when he was traded to New Orleans. Still had a house and like he'll be back, and he was. So now I'll have to go see if his house is on the market.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And this is Doug. What's up?
And we're co-hosts of a weekly podcast on the Utah Jazz called Twos and Threes. It's available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you get podcasts on your feed every Monday morning.
Mark's my big brother, and you could say this podcast is a family affair, but really we think of the Jazz and Jazz Nation as our family. So we'd love for you to participate with us, to listen, and really, let's do this together. Go Jazz.
Go Jazz. Be our family. Boom.
Let's move on to some more Twitter debates that are just, I don't know if we'll be as passionate about Derek Favors as we're going to talk about the top 75 players, but there seems to be a lot
it
of
it depends on if Jared calls a shriveled dicks again or not. We'll see. Depends on.
Jared got so like mad, just like he's
snuck that in there. I don't know if he snuck it in, but I don't.
I never call dicks.
I never let a shriveled dick sneak past me.
But I was like, Jared got so mad about us asking about Derek Favors. Like, I was like, I'm not. Well, we're not saying he sucks.
You guys keep asking me about this. I don't know what else you want me to tell you.
I just don't understand, and so I'm just like, oh, well, tell me in a minute. And I mean, if liking Utah is a prerequisite, that's cool.
Honestly, after we talk through it, I understand it more. I don't feel the same way, but I understand it now that we've talked it out loud and we've therapized it. I don't need to. I can understand now why I think, and I'll leave it at that. I won't say anything else mean, but I do understand it now. It makes more sense to me.
One of the things was like, just hearing, oh, he likes Utah. I'm like, oh, and that makes a lot of sense about like, I'm going to say, oh, he's always loved Utah. I'm like, okay. And it's a whole other fan psychology thing that we'll get into some other time, because that's always going to be there. Was it top 75? Like, was it all released today, or was it finished release?
It was like 25 per day, like for the last two or three days, right?
Yeah, it's all out there now.
I'm going to be very honest here.
Can you guys tell me how something works? I don't know, and I'm gonna feel like I'm sounding like a real idiot with math if I'm missing something obvious, but. They, I saw like a stat up there on TNT that said, because they did the 50 greatest, all right, 25 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And it said the stat said like the 50 greatest plus 26 new.
So,
so how does that work?
How I thought about it when I saw that too was that number 75 had a tie, so they had two people that were tied for 75th greatest. So
is there 76 top 75 players?
I think so.
Has anyone counted them?
I'm going to be very honest here. I have
that's
not.
That's hilarious because that's
looked
just
at any list.
The whole purpose of 75.
I agree. That's stupid.
Oh my God! Someone count it. Someone get the Twitter out.
Well, here's
someone...
the thing. I want to say the top 50 was 52. I want to say somebody said there was 52 people on the top 50 list. So.
Well, that wouldn't make any sense. That means there were 78 then.
Well, McCade had a thread about like. He said something like they took the top 50 and then they added two more from that era and then they only added 23 from the last 25.
Oh, maybe that was it. So
the thing I saw on TNT just said it said the 26 new additions from the previous 50 or something like that, which to me that basic math says 76.
Yeah.
There's got to be somewhere on the internet.
Yeah. It's a
that'd be great if that'd be even better.
In our 42nd pre-show meeting, I was like, "What should we talk about, guys?" And you know, they said top 75. I was like, "I guess." that's how I felt about it the whole time. Like, oh, top 75, cool. Like, all right, like you're gonna throw Stockton and Malone on there. That's probably a given. Okay, cool. I kind of thought the same thing. Like, I thought, are they gonna just use the same 50? Because I remember watching. The top 50 when they like I think it was an all-star game, they had all 50 come out at halftime line up. I remember that, and I was really into it then, even though like I only knew like half the players. I still probably only know half the players. You know, they basically took the same 50 and I was like, oh, okay, like so nobody from 25 years ago, which was 96, so nobody from 96 to now. And I think this is what people are kind of bothered about, like only 25 new players have made that list, and nobody from the old 50 had got bumped off. And so
I feel like some of the old guys should have got bumped off, but that's just me.
And people are up in their feels about it. People are really bothered by this.
I don't feel very passionate about the top 75 whatnot.
Okay.
Oh my God, I counted 76. I gotta count it again.
No, 76. I'm sure you're right though. I mean, you thought there was gonna be 76, right? You thought there was gonna be 76, so that's confirmation, isn't it?
Confirmation bias over there.
I don't know. There's so many.
So here's the thing. How many columns are there, Logan, of the players that you're counting?
Oh, I'm just trying to see if they're even throughout. So there's four columns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So what is that? 76, 40, 19 each.
So 19 times, yeah. What's 19 times
76?
Jesus Christ! There's 76 on the 75 greatest players.
I did that math in my head, folks.
My God! It says it right there on the top.
For those of you who get boners for math, I did it in my head.
The best part is I counted them. In their print underneath says, as a result of a tie in the vote, his 75th anniversary team features 76 players.
There you go. So I mean, this is just filler right now because we have to fill an hour and 45 minutes. Because that's how long our shows are, apparently. Logan,
45 minutes.
There are some guys that didn't make it, right? Grant Hill, Tracy McGrady. Who else didn't make it that I saw people were outraged about?
Ben Wallace,
yeah.
Vince Carter. Dwight Howard, uh-huh. I think. Or did Dwight Howard make it?
Dwight Howard did not make it. Dame over Kyrie. This is such a weird question.
I don't know if I put Kyrie on there, especially with how things are going nowadays with Kyrie.
I mean, but like what Kyrie did in that, 2017 Cavalier series?
But one series gets you on the list? I don't know.
I mean, one playoff series gets Derek Favors on the Mount Rushmore to the Utah Jazz, so yeah.
But the top 75 players ever. I'm not going to put Derek Favors on a list like that.
I mean,
I think Dwight Howard is probably the greatest.
Yeah, probably
of all those folks. Then again, if you say Dwight Howard, you've got to say Ben Wallace because it's like very similar careers. Lots of defensive player of the years, terrible offensive games.
I mean, yeah, Dwight was a pretty stout offensive player back in his Orlando days, right? Like, he was a almost 20-point guy. Like, just the post-up was still alive then.
But you can make the argument that Ben is very similar to Rodman.
Ben played on a lot more good teams and got a championship, I guess. I guess
Ben's got a championship. He helped Detroit get that championship. Who was more important to their championships? Was it Dennis Rodman or Ben Wallace?
Probably. I mean, Dennis had quite a few with two different dynasties, so it's like he's probably the greatest role player of them all in there, right? Which is kind of interesting. I mean, I do love me some Vince Carter, but I'm also not like hurt by it because he was Vince, you know. I mean, it is what it is. I guess my question would always be, who do you take off? I don't have any issue with Kyrie not being on there, not because of his choices, but I just don't think he's got the resume on the court either.
Yeah, his resume is not impressive as like a Ben Wallace resume or.
But I also think it'd be weird. I guess it also seems kind of weird to take off. Guys who made it before, like I don't know. It's just it's a weird thing to just all. I mean, I'm sure what they wanted was just this kind of discussion and talking about it, and that's all it is really gained from this. There's not a jacket or a high five or a bonus or it's just a hand job. Yeah, hand job. It's to create discussion and debate. And if the Kardashians have taught us anything, you know, a little controversy is a good thing. So.
I thought Eminem taught us that.
Who?
Eminem.
Oh, we don't acknowledge him in this household.
That's right. The honeypots that put the kibosh on that. It kind of got me thinking though, like how we can turn this in, because I thought we might talk about this on the pod. Like, who do you think the 75th best jazz man is?
Oh, wow.
Milt Palacio.
Because we know who the top like 10 are. We probably know who the top 20 are. Does Derek Fisher make the top 75 jazzmen?
He probably has to. I mean, the strength of what they did in the playoffs that year alone.
Yeah,
it would be really, it'd be really interesting to like put this on paper and figure out where it all falls out.
That's a lot of
years and a lot of rosters, right?
I think it's 330 Ken Clayton put something like Jared Butler was like the 340th person to get to log a minute for the Jazz.
So, holy crap, a lot of players.
So, I mean, I guess there are some people who probably were 15th men that never made it on the floor for the Jazz. But
it may be like Olden Polony's territory.
Olden Polony.
That may even be higher too. I don't know. It's hard to picture what it looks like when you.
So Greg Foster, Greg Ostertag are probably top 50, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know,
Foster. I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
He did the throat slitting. He did. Yeah. That was progressive.
And again,
that was bold.
Again, like if your number 20 is going to be someone in like the Boozer, Millsap, Al Jefferson range, those are probably like, guys at the like. Let me give you the tiers here. Like at the 25, it's probably going to be 15 to 25 is probably going to be Boozer, Millsap, Jefferson in some capacity, and that means your 50 is going to be your high level role players, you know, your Russells, your Benoit, your Greg Ostertags. Sure. So and Greg Foster and Hokar probably is in that area. So your 75 has got to be your short term players or players that had Howard Eisley is probably in the top 60. So I'm just trying to like give you guys like like tiers here of players that
I guess you're right. That whole. That those championship rosters, they're all gonna make it on there, right? The whole roster.
I don't know, Chris Moore, like
Shannon Anderson.
Yeah, so Shannon Anderson is probably a good name. Like he probably is in that 65 to 75 area. I was gonna say Chris Morris, but Chris Morris probably doesn't make the cut. Adam Keefe probably does. Adam Keefe, maybe he's 75.
Matt Harpring probably does.
I'm trying to figure out the guy who might be 75.
I feel like other fans have a Derek Favors type lover for Matt Harpring because he like was like the guy that weathered them through one of those really awful periods.
He only played for like three teams, right?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure he, like, I know that he played for the Sixers. And let me type here. You can hear me type on the keyboard here.
I found this list of the Jazz players, and it only goes to 54.
Okay.
And, like, 54 is, like, Joe Johnson, John Drew.
John Drew?
George, I don't know who that is. George Hill, Devin Harris.
Oh, George Hill.
Carlos Arroyo is up on.
That's the name that I was like, are you fucking kidding me? He would not make my top 75, I'll tell you that. Matt Harpin played for Orlando for 2 years, Cleveland for a year, and Philadelphia for a year. So, yeah, I mean, he played. I would put Matt Harpin in the top 75. I'm just trying to figure out if he would be in that, like, 65 to 75 area. He might be higher. He played a lot of seasons. Yeah. He played four really good seasons during, with that. Like, he's sort of wasn't that really bad era, you know? He played a lot of games for the Jazz, so. Carlos Roy made the top 75. I mean, man, we're really, the Jazz don't have that many great players then.
Costa Kufis.
Rafael Arroyo. Like, I'm trying to figure out what the worst player.
Thabo Sefolosha.
That can make the top. Thabo played for two seasons, though. Yeah. Like, Kyle Korver is a top 50. Yeah. Kyle Korver is a top 50. Yeah,
Kyle Korver's, I can see him maybe making top 50.
This is something that we probably do actually need to sit down and just, like, write it out, as opposed to, like, just trying to, like, throw names out there. Random old names out there. I'm just trying to figure out.
Matt Harpin is not close to 75. He's way higher than that. Like, I hate Matt Harpin as an announcer, but, like, he was solid. He was really good as a Jazz man.
He ran the Harpin screen to perfection. They named it after him. And he came from a family of football players. So,
really,
yeah.
Logan,
you might have to start listening with sound on. If you get the Jazz broadcast, like, Bowler Jack and Thurtle, you know, are very enjoyable. But Holly Rowe is a fucking maniac. Like, she, like
oh, when know. She comes on, I unmute it. And when she took the ball from the professor, I saw it all.
Yeah, so. The professor, the Jazz, Jazz next G League signing.
Ryan Smith's favorite player going up, professor.
But, like, Holly, like I don't want to say I make fun of sideline reporting, but sometimes I think and I'm not saying sideline reporters don't have a purpose. This is that sometimes I think teams don't know what to do with like, especially Monday Night Football reporters, like, reporting about fucking peanut butter and jelly. Like, oh my God, you guys are running out of content. But that's the thing, is that sometimes I think there's fluff and stuff that you just don't really need. But Holly Rowe was, like, just giving, and, like, then her, like, dropping the Lululemon bomb, I was like, oh damn, Holly Rowe's, like, trying to scoop people now on her first day back with the Jazz, or I don't know if she was ever with the Jazz, but back in Utah. So I was like, all right, Holly, you know, this is people, if they, someone said that they did announce the rankings, the Jazz are number one, so, which is weird, but apparently, you know, some new blood made the game a lot, and people were talking about it, how it was just a more enjoyable experience to listen to the game. So from what I saw, Holly Rowe, killed it. She speaks French. So this is gonna be interesting. I wonder where all those people who were super mad about Chris and Kenny being let go.
Where are they now?
Yeah, the Twitter movement.
They're too afraid to admit it out loud now for being canceled. There was some real weird and funny stuff that came out when that. I mean, it's not funny that someone lost their job. It was just funny to watch, like, some of the knights come riding to her defense.
And the white knighting, the white knighting.
Some of the folks, like, talking about, just I do appreciate those folks calling out the white knights. It was, I won't even go into great detail as to what some of them said, or, but it was I don't know. It was funny.
And
we're going to continue this conversation off air.
One of those
saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's what I was like, and again, Chris Kenny was, I don't think she was bad at her job, but apparently ownership thought that they had a better idea in mind, and that's the way they went. And, you know, sometimes people lose their jobs to better people. It happens. So,
Yeah, she wasn't bad. She was good at it. It's just when you got Holly Rowe.
Yeah,
waiting, and, you know, take Holly Rowe.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, there's, if she listens to Kristen Kenny, if you're a listener of the pod, I don't think it's an insult to say that Holly Rowe, you know, that Holly Rowe is very good at her job. So there you go.
I mean,
the real person we need to ask about this is our boy Mark, because this has got to be real challenging, because he likes his people, so in theory he should be very loyal to KK, right? But yeah, I mean, when you got an all time great waiting, how does one reconcile that? So Mark, when you listen to this episode, because you're one of the four people with my mom who listens to this, I look forward to your quote tweet breaking down how you are reconciling this in your mind.
Yeah, because, like, Jazz fans don't want to get rid of what they know that do a good job for maybe a chance to get better.
Yeah. Old Jazz paradox.
Yeah, like, oh no, what we got? Like, hey, no, we don't want that superstar.
Your player, no,
no, no, we don't want that superstar. That like. but I mean, really, the Jazz have played really well. I was impressed that first game. Like, okay, cool. Like, way to come out of the gates looking like the team that was the number one seed in the. That was the most impressive thing to me. Like, they came out of the gates looking like the number one seed from last year. Like, okay.
Yeah, they didn't do what they did last year with Oklahoma City in the first couple of games, which was let them hang around. So yeah, they did they're supposed to. So
right. Yeah, like they had to win on a last second shot from Donovan Mitchell, I want to say, and then they went home and lost their first. Did they almost lose to Minnesota too, or did they lose to Minnesota, the Timberwolves, in the first week?
They did lose to Minnesota. Yeah. I don't think we beat Minnesota last year, did we?
I don't know.
No, we lost.
There was a couple games the Wizards, the Wolves. I want to say it was one more team that the Jazz has had a problem with last year. So,
well, I think the sweeps by the Timberwolves and the Wizards were rough, especially late in the season, because the Timberwolves were like a back to back situation, and I think that we're trying to rest our guys and get that one seed, and we, when you're losing like four games late in the season to, I think, the Wizards and the.
There was somebody else at that point.
Yeah, Minnesota was terrible at that point. Right.
So Logan, you didn't really get a chance to kind of do your NBA season preview. We got, you know, another hour apparently before we end this episode. So you didn't get to hear all of our predictions, but let's get from, like, for who do you think the bottom five teams in the West are going to be this year?
The bottom five teams in the West?
Yeah, I have to
Google it and see. I don't even know all the teams that are in the NBA.
Okay, how about the Thunder? Do you think the Thunder are going to be any good?
No.
The Rockets?
No.
Okay. Now here's an interesting one. The Timberwolves.
Let me see compared to what else is out there. I don't believe in Minnesota. I think that it's not a matter of talent. I just think that place is a mess. So I don't believe in Minnesota.
I can't remember, Jared, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I said I had Minnesota as a surprise team, like, you know, kind of sneaking in. If I did, I'm saying it now. Like, Timberwolves are just one of those teams that I think I don't know if they'll make a lot of noise, but I think they can get into that 9-8-7 range. So I'll see.
Well, I guess the only givens you look at is assuming they're going to be terrible is Houston and Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah, everybody.
Maybe San Antonio. I can't tell you I do any San Antonio research, but
I think I'm not very scared of, like, the mystique of San Antonio is gone for me. Like, the mystique of the Spurs.
Yes. Yeah,
like I and here's the thing. I know that they, again, this is what I said last week or last episode, was that I think they are going to try to be good, but they won't have quite, like, I think they might be one of the more talented teams in the West. I'm not saying that the players they have are not talented, but they just don't have, like, I just don't know if they have, you know, a high tier two guy. They just have a couple of, like, really good, you know, seventh, eighth men, ninth men, you know, fifth men, yeah, fourth men pieces. I think they're just going to be like in that range. Like, they're going to be in that 10 or 11 or 12 range, with a good enough record to, like, put them, like, near the end of the lottery. So it's not where you want to be. All right. So the Spurs, the Kings, Logan.
I think the Kings are in that same bizarre, Minnesota tier, right? Where there are certain parts of it intrigue you, but I guess it's just, again, it's just they haven't seemed to put it together. What did they end up doing last year? They end up getting into the
They barely missed it. The play-in was the Grizzlies and the Spurs. The Grizzlies won that one. Then they played the Warriors in the next play-in game, the Grizzlies. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think too highly of Sacramento or Minnesota, but I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them put enough together to get in a play-in situation. I would take Sacramento over Minnesota. Again, I see that the talent Minnesota has, like you guys do, but it just, there always seems to be something weird that happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear as though Cat wants to be there. It doesn't appear as though D'Angelo Russell wants to be there. Really, it's just a weird.
I mean, and I think they've changed ownership too. They've changed a lot of things in the past decade. They just can't get out of this weird, like.
They just barely changed ownership, and then there was something weird that happened with the front office too. I just remember seeing the interview, like the media day interview with Kat. They got a little bit of run on Twitter, but not a lot. But it was just like 3 minutes of just like he sounded broken. And it wasn't even about the game. It was about like just showing up to work in just like a shitty environment time after time. And it's just, I mean, on paper there's a lot of talent there with those three guys, and it's just something always weird happens. I don't know.
And so here's the last non-playoff team from last year, the Pelicans.
I would put them in a Sacramento tier, I guess.
Okay, so the NBA
will do its damnedest to give us Zion. I mean, they will do everything they can.
All right, so now we're gonna name the top 10 teams from last year. So just kind of have in your mind, like, what are these teams in the bottom five? Which one do you think has the best chance of moving up, and which one do you think has a chance of moving down? So last year it was the Grizzlies. We talked about the Spurs already. I feel like I'm missing somebody. The Grizzlies, the Warriors, and the Lakers were the bottom three playoff teams.
I mean, I think Sacramento is the obvious one to slip down out of it, and Sacramento to slip in or slip out
because Sacramento wasn't in it. So
Sacramento to slip in over San Antonio.
Over San Antonio, okay.
I don't know if that comes across too super shocking, but
yeah, like, I mean, maybe there's another team that might shock you about falling out.
We did our great preseason rankings last year, I did leave out of my hate, and I think that Jazz fans need to do it more. My hate for the Portland Trail Blazers, I left them out of pure spite.
Dude, wait till you get to my part of the part two of the of that.
Cause... Oh no, I heard you guys go on and on about it forever, and.
Do you think the Blazers fall out again this year?
No, they'll be in there, just mediocre as hell. Yeah, like they'll just be what they always are.
That's sort of a shame.
I'm with Jared on Robert Covington. Like Roko, which is like a terrible nickname for the record, is just, I'm so tired of hearing, if he's that much of a game changer, he wouldn't be bouncing around every single year, and he wouldn't be everyone's game changer. I don't get it. Like,
right?
I don't understand the Roko love, and then I guess Larry Nance now is the second coming as well. I think you guys hit it right on the head. It's just, someone did a great job of it. They tweeted it out the other day. It's that picture of the man in the plaid shirt holding up the same plaid shirt. It's just like that.
Is that a Geico commercial?
I don't know if it's a commercial. I just think it has a picture, but it's pretty much just where have you seen time in and time out.
I'm gonna bite it anyway. Yeah. Okay, so you have the Blazers kind of just sticking in there. The Grizzlies. Do you think they have a chance to move out of that play-in? Like, do you think they have a chance to be a top six seed?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they've got Triple J back all year, hopefully, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Then who do we have last year? So the Mavericks and the Clippers. I mean, so the Clippers were kind of like, it's incomplete because, you know, they don't have Kawhi. Do you think
they're enough to take the Jazz out?
that's true. But I mean, do you think the Clippers can survive 82 seasons or 80, let's say like 60 games without Kawhi, and then get Kawhi back for the last, you know, little like quarter of the season for the playoffs? Do you think that's enough to get them to a top six seed, or do you think that they're in the play-in range of 7 through 10?
No, I don't think they'll be in the play-in range. Like, they actually, I mean, as Kawhi always, 10, I mean, 60 or 70 games is a lot. They seem to find a way with all those dudes.
Some
of it doesn't make any sense. They actually won a lot of games last year too, with Paul George and Kawhi being out.
The game against the Warriors. I mean, first quarter it was like, oh man, these guys are out of it. But then all of a sudden they came back and almost won.
They only lost by two. I've seen a few folks say it, but I don't know that you can. I don't. I think you can kind of sort of in your mind say, okay, we can count Jamal Murray coming back this year, even if it's late. I don't think that Kawhi's not a guy that I trust that you're going to can assume that he's coming back this season. Like he's shown that a guy is going to make sure he's 120% before he comes back. And I don't think you can guarantee he'll be back at all this season. I just don't.
Okay, say the Clippers. I mean, if the Clippers do get him back though, if, like for the playoffs, I mean that's a team. I mean that's a team that you don't want to see in the playoffs, and that's going to be kind of crap for somebody if they, you know, they face a Clippers team that's either 6, 7, or 8. So, all right. So you said the Grizzlies and the Clippers you think could be top six teams. The Lakers. Where do you think the Lakers kind of end up?
The Lakers end up in the top three somewhere.
All right. They just got started.
I think the Lakers are really going to be one of the more fascinating things to watch play out. And I definitely hate the Lakers, but I think much as Twitter and all of us tend to do, we all don't have opinions. We have facts that we know, and it's just it's interesting that the Lakers, probably the most decorated franchise in the history of the NBA and top three in sports period, and LeBron James, who's in the top couple, you know, one or two in the greatest of all time. He's definitely one of the better GMs in the history of basketball, right? Just happens to know nothing. And these guys all know. Now, I'm not going to say it's not weird with some of the people and the pieces that are there. And they definitely were old, but it's just there's definitely some dudes there, and there's some scenarios I can see where these changes really work to their benefit, and I can also see situations where it kind of implodes. But I think that LeBron injury is the only thing that allows it to implode, because come hell or high water, the changes will be made that have to. If Westbrook is an issue, I think that Westbrook isn't a factor. But it's just intriguing. It's just a weird roster, because I thought about it. It's funny to me that while yes, they brought in like 9 old guys, and we, like, as Jazz fans, like to make fun of it, but like if we would have signed like one of those 9 guys, we'd have been having like a major jizz fest for it. We'd be like, oh my god, look at this pickup, like
Rudy Gay. Yeah,
I mean, Rudy Gay is in the same tier as some of those guys, and so it is just interesting to watch the way we pick and choose. And the NBA loves the Lakers, so I don't know how it's going to play. You guys actually made some pretty compelling arguments, you know, both directions on your guys' last pod about it, and that's why I don't have a feeling for it. It's definitely an interesting science experiment.
All right, I skipped over them, and I apologize. Well, I don't apologize. I just apologize for, you know, timing purposes. The Mavericks.
I think Dallas is in kind of the same range they were last year, right? They were a 5 or a 4 or somewhere in that same category. Luka's good, but there's not a whole – that's, I don't know. All the other teams above the Mavericks have at least 2 studs, right, or 2 legit stars. So,
yeah.
Dallas is a weird team to me. It's very hard to figure out.
I think I want to say I said that I thought the Grizzlies were going to be better than the Mavericks, number one. And I think, you know, of the teams that made the playoffs last year, I think the Mavericks could be the ones that not only just, like, they fall out, like, you know, they might be at 10. You know, this is where, like, the Kings or the Kings, Pelicans, or Wolves, one of those teams where it will, I guess my bet's on the Wolves to leapfrog the Mavericks there. I think everybody else kind of stays the same, except for the Spurs, obviously. All right, who did I miss? Number 4 was Clippers. You talked about them.
You got Phoenix and Golden State and the Jazz.
Oh, the Nuggets. The Nuggets.
The Nuggets are good. The Nuggets are really good. And the Nuggets continue to win games even when they're down their studs. So I think the Nuggets are a top 3 team.
I think the Nuggets might be the number 1 team in the West this year. So,
yeah.
even without Jamal Murray, that's crazy. Like, if they get Jamal Murray back, boy, they're going to be. I mean, Jokic and MPJ and Aaron Gordon are going to carry that team.
Yeah. So I guess in my personal rankings, the battle for the third spot in my mind is: do I think it's the Jazz or do I think it's Phoenix?
Right.
I suppose.
And
as a Jazz fan, I'm going to default back to the Jazz because I'm a homer and I hate Phoenix. I mean, Chris Paul was – the Phoenix Suns and the Jazz both, I guess, were freakishly healthy last year. Like, they were all – there during the regular season, that is. I haven't forgotten that in the postseason we were the only injured team.
He's got to keep
– that was perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I'm sorry. I can't let it go. Like, I cannot let it go. Like, I get it, but they didn't have Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Like, come on. And I had some guy really attack me one day too, like nasty attack me, because I dare mention Serge Ibaka, who was their starting center for like the majority of the season. What do you mean he's not in the same category? I'm like, oh, well, I mean, I think one could argue when fully healthy, he's like in that third best player category on their team, with like, we're kind of putting Mike Connolly. And the thing is, like you don't get to like cherry pick what Donovan was good at and bad at. Like, you don't get to say like Donovan was hurt, but he also put up these amazing offensive numbers. Like, you can't claim him as a full injury when he was dropping like 40 and 9. It just you don't get to do that. Like, you don't get to say both our guys were hurt, but one of them happened to just, you know, be an offensive freaking savant. Like, it doesn't work that way.
All right.
That's going to come out of me a lot. Sorry.
Jared, that's on my Tinder profile, actually. Jared, you were there for both episodes. Just correct me if I'm wrong here. So I think we've all kind of put in our top tier, like the top three or four teams in the West. We think in some order is going to be like the Nuggets, the Suns, the Jazz, and the Lakers. Lakers are kind of something are going to be good, some are going to be bad. But let's say the Lakers got more votes than everybody else. Then we have like that 4, 5, 6 area is a little weird. You know, some people think I think the Grizzlies are in there. Some people have the Mavericks. I don't. The Blazers, the Blazers are probably in there. But the Clippers. So 4 of those 3 teams are probably in that 4 through 6 area. And that leaves us. I lost my list. Let me click.
Really, only two of those teams are safe, because it's 7-8 to play in. So you got to pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and you also got the Warriors in the mix too.
Oh, 4, 5, 6. I meant, sorry. So 4, 5. Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm a we assume the Lakers or somebody will be in that top tier before. Yeah. So two of what we think the Grizzlies, the Mavericks. Oh God! Like, how shitty would it be to get a top two? And I said this all last episode. You know, you get the 2 seed, but your first round opponent is the Clippers. Like, shit. You know, that sucks. So Logan's kind of on team. Like, I'm out of those bottom.
We say that, but it didn't seem to matter last year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Clippers did tank to get to the 4 seed. So, I mean, there's a little bit of gaming there. Jared, out of those, the Rockets, the Thunder, I think we all safely have those at the bottom two. Rockets, mm-hmm. Lakers. So how about the Pelicans, Kings, and Wolves? Like, which one do you think, Jared, makes it to probably top 8, you know?
Given the choices, I think
we can say that the top 10 are going to be the same, but very rarely does it happen. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I think
surprise team, the surprise team is probably Sacramento, given that it's kind of like Logan said, like, and even Carl Anthony Towns even said, he's like, oh, it's been a pretty quiet offseason for Minnesota. And then that whole drama started where.
Big Luke Walton fans here on the pod.
The GM got fired and everything like that. Well, it's not that. It's just I like those other choices less. And I feel like
I mean, the Pelicans are young. I mean, they got Zion, who apparently is a superstar.
But he's also hurt, so I don't know how much he's gonna
Zion,
play.
Like for Pelicans, I mean, basically, if Brandon Ingram can play like an all-star again, and then Zion does what he does, then that's a whole, you know, that's a whole different Pelicans.
True, team.
But
true.
I mean, the Kings got some young talent, and Donovan Mitchell's little brother. So the Kings. So which one of those three? Like, I mean, the Blazers, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies. Do you think they hop any of those teams there? The Mavericks, the Blazers, the Grizzlies, the Clippers?
I don't think so.
Okay. So it's just,
likely that they're a play-in team that's got to fight. Yeah. Got to try to beat one of those teams in a play-in game.
Like, I guess I kicked the Spurs and the Mavericks out. yeah, well, that's what I do. So, yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, the rest a bloodbath like always. But the Jazz, hey, took care of their business, so that was fun. You know, it's good to know that you know, same old Jazz could be good, could be bad.
Who do you want to see just tank and be terrible? Who do you want to see just implode and not do what they're supposed to? We all know mine's the Blazers. I want to see them fall apart.
The Blazers, for them to like actually like make a change. Like, I mean, in, you know, the GM says, like, if they just
make a change. I want to suck and run it back again.
You know, let's say the Lakers and Clippers are ineligible for this because, you know, it's the Lakers and Clippers, right?
Yeah.
You know,
the Suns, man. I'd love to see
it. Sounds like who kind of wants the Mavericks to implode? I mean, he's kind of down on them, and
It's not that I want them to implode. Like, I kind of feel it. Like, they changed coaches. I'm not quite sure. Like, Kristaps is their second best player.
I could definitely see them imploding.
I've kind of hopped off of. I don't know if I was ever on the unicorn bandwagon, but just watching Kristaps kind of play in his current state, like, that guy's a max player, and that's gonna, you know, it's really tied up who else the Mavericks can put around Luka. And I mean, they got Tim Hardaway, which is great, but, you know, if your two best players are Tim Hardaway and Luka, you know, I really have no love for New Orleans, so if the Pelicans imploded, but that doesn't help the Jazz. I think Suns is a good call. If a Chris Paul, they're a Chris Paul injury away from mediocrity. So
true.
The Grizzlies are just fun to watch. So it's this.
And again, I guess Campaign is going to come in and play like a superstar.
I mean, for the Jazz, if the Nuggets could somehow like not figure it out without Jamal Murray or something, that'd be great. Like the Nuggets. The Warriors. How did I miss the Warriors? Logan,
I don't know how to process the Warriors. I just, because last year they were my team that I thought if things fell right would be okay, but now that seems to be like the super trendy thing for everyone to say. So I'm completely asexual on the Warriors.
I knew I was forgetting somebody like the Warriors.
I just don't have any. I don't have any.
Maybe the Warriors are probably the one that personally I like to see fail. You know, I think they ruined the NBA for me for like 4 years, and so yeah, I don't enjoy watching them. They ruined the NBA for me, but I haven't enjoyed watching them since, you know, the 2000s. So,
oh hey guys, apparently San Diego State just beat UNLV on a game-winning sack.
I had a lot of money on that game.
Yeah, so the Warriors. So personally, I'd like to see the Warriors implode. Steph Curry is playing really well. If Andrew Wiggins plays pretty well, I mean, I just don't know. That team is so weird. They have a little more depth now. I mean, Belicia, the Jazz favorite, Jazz fans, I'm a favorite non-Jazz player.
That's the Bee Jelly. I finally saw him in the flesh.
Yeah, Bee Jelly.
He looks like a Bee Jelly. That was my first thought when he. When he like hit a three, and then he was moving, I was like, that's definitely a Bee Jelly. It's very rare that someone looks, plays, and acts exactly like you expect them to be. So
I'm glad the Bee Jelly's back. But yeah, the Warriors, man. Like, it's just so weird. Like, they, I mean, I don't know where to put the Warriors. I think the Warriors are still in that 7-10 range personally. So
that would be a hell of an indictment. Not as Luke Walton's still the coach of Sacramento, right? That's still a thing?
Yeah, that is correct.
And Bee Jelly was buried on the bench in Sacramento for most of the season. Is that also correct?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something if Bee Jelly and Hassan Whiteside turned out to be decent contributors to good teams?
Oh boy, yeah. We didn't touch on Hassan Whiteside's debut. Like, you know, people
he was
like,
not good.
Well, and the funny thing is, like Dan Clayton tweeted out something like, oh, the non-Gobert minutes are problems again. But then the very next day, he's like, oh, actually, look at the stats, and the stats say it was fine. But it didn't look good. But, yeah.
I think that's the thing with Hassan is, like, if you look at the stats, it looks okay. But when you watch it, you're just like, oh, no, Whiteside again.
I hope
he continues to take post-ups. I just hope he does it. I hope he continues to look for his own offense.
The Jazz are sort of stuck with it, so that's you know, like, you know, I I'm not going to bring it up at this pod, but J-Rob.
It is way too early to make any sort of assessment on Butler at this point.
It wasn't even an assessment. It was just another philosophical question. So, Jared, what's going on? I saw that you were in town, I guess. Apparently, you moved out of Salt Lake. So, for, I'm going to say, the Ute game, how was chopping down Christmas trees last week?
You say chopping down Christmas trees?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what you're doing. That's what I heard. So,
what is going on?
Jared always be hustling.
Jared be hustling.
he's got his own Christmas tree lot down in wherever he's at.
Logan, you're back, and thanks for joining us late night. I'm on our normal recording night. How's Korea?
It was great. I made it out alive, so everything is good. I don't really have anything going on. I got to make sure I shout out my mom because she did text me the other day and gave me some shit. She's like, "You're doing shout outs again?" And I didn't get a shout out. And I was like, "Well, all right, mom. shout out to Marnie."
Well, you shout out Marnie.
Yeah, shout out mom.
I'm yeah.
Her initial say is she's the quintessential mom.
I'm glad that I'm sorry, Marnie. I didn't realize that you're such a loyal listener, and I don't think you ever heard me swear before. So now your opinion of me is surely sullied.
She has lots of opinions on you. She shares them frequently. She has lots of opinions on all of us. I'm surprised, but I love it.
She's like, he's 37, single, and running a semi-successful podcast.
All right. I just love the thought of my mom like at the Planet Fitness, just exercise and listen to the pod. I'm really looking forward to hearing her response on the shriveled dicks that we talked about earlier. So that should be...
Marnie.
My mom's come a long way. I don't know if she's come shriveled dicks that far, but she may. She might.
A lot of people have come. Yeah,
she's probably like, I thought that Jared fellow was a nice boy you guys had there, and then he just contaminated. And now he's calling people shriveled dicks and things, and that's why you need to watch your mouth, Logan, because what you say affects other people.
it's funnier when you know his mom. It's just great. I want to shout out to him at Austin Creed Wins because he's our new King of the Ring. We have a new king, y'all. So.
That's great.
No more King Corbin. No more King Nakamura. Even though King, it is great. And just he fulfilled the childhood dream of all things. So I'm like, well, shit, like most people want to be world champions, and he's like, no, King of the Ring. And that means the New Day all have a really great singles accomplishment. Even though King of the Ring is still, of all the pay per views, wasn't that one of your favorite ones, Logan? King of the Ring.
I always enjoy what they do with King of the Ring afterwards. I think it's funny when they find some sort of shtick to make it stick around for like a year or 2 years, sometimes depending on how long they go. Right. So,
like
King Booker was one of the King greatest. I think it's King, probably King Booker was Booker T's greatest run for me as a character.
Yes.
The King Booker movie reviews will go down as all time greats.
Oh my goodness, those are hilarious.
Breaking down that Kane movie. Ooh, Kane spooky.
And see no evil. King Booker. Sometimes they throw it away. There's no more jazz talk. If you're listening for jazz talk, we get Logan and I probably have at least 10 more minutes of wrestling talking to us. King Corbin was kind of weird. Why King Corbin? King Corbin?
I do enjoy the Happy Corbin stick. I like this.
Happy Corbin? I
just like it because it's different and it's funny that he's just this little douchebag, which he is.
But. I loved Broken Man, Broken Man. I'm a Corbin. I did too.
No, that was probably his best version. You're right, but I love that it turned into this somehow, some way. Like I just think it's fantastic.
King Nakamura was just. At least it gave Nakamura some more airtime, which is great. Like there's nothing wrong with hearing him play that fucking bop of a jam he has. That's really the most recent Kings. I think Austin. I really hope that I call him Austin Creed because I watched Up, Up, Down, Down. But Xavier Woods. does some really cool like New Day stuff with like I hope he goes like super over the top with his King stuff, and I make like that's why I was like Finn Balor doesn't need to win this, Xavier Woods needs to win this, you know, so it's really cool. So anyway, that's our WWE talk. AEW's on Saturday for the next like week. That's some pretty good. We're gonna see. They're gonna have their own. It's not they don't call it the King of the Ring, but there is basically a tournament.
AEW loves tournaments.
They do love tournaments. They're eliminated tournaments. So we're gonna see John Moxley versus Daniel Bryan Bryan Danielson now, the American Dragon, in the final. Because you look at the bracket and you go, yeah, that's probably it. So, okay, cool. We'll save this for our wrestling podcast that we need to put together someday. Jared, where can they find you on the Twitter?
At go the distance 49.
And he's also on Instagram. And
same handle.
Same handle. Jazz at jet not at jazzpod. Go to jazzpodcoop.com. That's coop.com. There's jazz gear. Travis L. Cox is coming to Utah. I'm gonna make him wear his Jazz Pod Co-op T-shirt so he can wear it to the game. Get your thongs, get your koozies, get your stickers. Maybe there'll be fanny packs someday. Who knows? DJ Honey Paws knows how to make websites, so she put all like see the Gen Z. Is the Gen Z podcast on there? I haven't checked yet. I don't know.
It should be on there still. Change. I mean, it's the same. It's the same feed.
Okay.
Because I mean, their stuff still pops up the same.
Yeah. So Gen Z's on there. Twos and threes. Jedi and Germs, Dog and Deuce,
The Hive.
Oh, the Hive. There you go, Logan. Where can they find you on the Twitterverse?
Hissing Rat Piss is my handle.
That's a good handle. We should make that a handle. Anything. The Jazz play the Kings tomorrow. So this will be. You guys nervous about the Kings at all?
No.
No, Jared.
Is it? Wait a second. Is it in Sacramento?
It's in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Oh, still no.
not particularly.
Why do I still have PTSD then? Like I'm nervous. Like I'm like, oh
it's
boy.
It's the Hassan Whiteside revenge game, man.
Ooh, wow. Yeah,
so
he's gonna score 50, and that will be all the points the Jazz have.
He's gonna drop. He's gonna have 12 points. 11 rebounds, 4 blocks.
No, no, no.
He's going to be a negative 17 on the plus minus.
All right. Well, that's it. You can find me. I'm Jazz High Notes, at Jazz High Notes. That's it. We'll see you guys next time. Our ad would another ad would play there if anyone ever paid us for this podcast, which is unlikely. So, you know, we need to like shave our balls more for Manscaped, I guess.
We need more listeners that want to shave their balls.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. I'm confused, but they didn't pick us.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you were able to. Weren't you the one that couldn't figure out Zachary Braff versus Zachary Levi?
No, I don't know who Zachary Levi is. I was just being a dickhead.
A shriveled dickhead.
My mom loves Zach Levi so much. Like she loves
he was,
him so much.
He was nice. Like I mean, I've only met him for 30 seconds at Comic-Con.
Oh, she's got a picture. She's got a picture of Zach Levi too at Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
That's what she wanted. Well, like 1 year she wanted to go to Comic-Con. And pretty sure she's got a picture with him because she loved him and Chuck. And then she's the only person I think watched that shitty Shazam movie or whatever it was called. What was
so,
the movie made?
So Marnay wouldn't go. Like Marnay went to Comic-Con and didn't see me, huh? That's a shame. I'm amazing.
Well, she went to Comic-Con just to see. Zachary Levi, I believe.
Well, that's an adorable story.
My mom's got some weird, you know, she's got some weird obsessions. Her favorite Bronco of all time is Jason Elam, for Christ's sake. I mean,
who?
Yeah, exactly. The kicker for the Broncos
Jason
when they won back-to-back Super Bowls.
I can't wait to put this in the end credit scene. I'm gonna have to cut it up.
Marnay, she loves Zachary Levi, and she loves Jason Elam. That's all you need to know about her. And if you leave with that audio, she'll be hooked for the rest of the episode.